I appreciate the subject of prayer so much. Hebrews chapter 4 this morning, if you'll turn there. I appreciate the subject of prayer so very much. I appreciate the words of the song that says, "Oh, what peace we often forfeit, and oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer." I still remember the day that I was ordained into the gospel ministry, and I knew that when I was born that I was premature. My wife sometimes says, "You're still immature too." I remembered by looking at a baby book that I didn't weigh but 3 pounds and 5 ounces when I was born. And that was in 1957, where preemies were not supposed to live. But on the day that I was ordained into the ministry, my mother told me the story. And I knew that my grandpa was a praying man. But my mama said, "David, here's what your papa prayed when he prayed for you. Lord, if you'll let him live, would you use him for the glory of God?" Ladies and gentlemen, today, let's not ever underestimate the value of prayer. I just feel so strong today that if we'd really get back on sincere prayer grounds with God, how God can meet the needs of the church. How God can meet the needs of our families. How God can meet our physical needs and according to His riches and glory. And you know, it's always a blessing when you have somebody that can be an intercessor for you. I thought about this morning. We have a wonderful Christian lady that does our taxes for us every year, and she specializes for doing taxes for those that are in the ministry. But I received a letter from the IRS that there was something wrong with our forms that year. Well, I'm glad that I didn't have to face that myself, because I wouldn't have known what to do. So I went to Linda Williams. I went to her. I took it to her. And part of that situation was because of trying to keep our health insurance at a reasonable price. And so, we went to proper channels and they took care of it for us. I am so glad today that we can go to the Lord with our every issue that we have, whether it be small or whether it be large. My wife sits here today, had that back surgery, and really didn't know if we were going to be able to make this trip or not. And I had determined, because I believe family comes first, that if she was not able to make the trip and the doctors wouldn't give the approval, I was just going to have to call and say, "I'm going to have to cancel because my wife's not able to be with me." But we began to pray, didn't we, honey? We just besought the face of God. And the doctors all said, "We don't see a reason why she can't make the trip as long as you go a certain point and then stop for a while and let her stretch and everything." And honey, it seems like for the most part, you've really done well. And how we thank the Lord for that. That's because we have an intercessor. I'll never forget when Jackson was born, our grandson. We got room from the delivery room that he wasn't breathing. Now, I want you folks to know I am a Carolina fan in basketball. But that was not a time that I wanted to talk about Carolina basketball. That wasn't a time that I wanted to talk to our other son about the stock market, because he's an Edward Jones financial advisor. I could care less about Edward Jones right then. And we didn't care who was around in that waiting room. We didn't care if there was Catholics there or Muslims there or whatever. We got together and we got on our knees in the middle of that waiting room and we started praying for little Jackson. How'd it turn out? You can't slow him down. How old is he now? 7? He's 6 years old and you can't slow him down for 1 minute. Because we have a God that hears and answers prayer. We certainly do. Hebrews chapter number 4. I want you to notice, first of all, the promises of prayer. He says, for the word of God is quick. That simply just means it's alive. It just simply means that it's vibrant. It means that it's active. Listen, we don't have a dead Bible in our lap this morning. For the word of God is. I notice in my King James Bible that is an italicized word. And those are put in there for the flow of the language. We understand that. But it is a present tense. If the word of God worked in years gone by, in the word is, it tells me that it still works today. Boy, that gives me great peace. That gives me great assurance. People told Miss Maynard and I and said we'd starve to death in this ministry. But the Bible teaches me that He would take care of us. That's the reason I'm on a diet now, praise God. It's because He is faithful every step of the way. The Word of God is quick, and that word quick right there, it just simply means it's active. And you know something that's quick? It's active in a hurry. Now, if we have to wait on God for something, it's because that He knows it's best. And you know, I don't know about you. I've always not been too prone to want to wait. But do you remember that ketchup commercial years ago? Was it Heinz ketchup? And they would hold it up and it would take a long time. But it says this, the commercial, that the best things happen to those that wait. Sometimes we have to learn what it is to be patient. I mean, our son that was in drug addiction for so many years, there would be some times we'd get phone calls that he was gone again, he was high again, he'd walk out in his wife and family, and we'd get the call and the granddaughter would be crying her eyeballs out and all of that. And I wanted to go wring his neck. Sometimes I'd go to my secret place in the middle of the woods that's down behind our house. There's an old motorcycle trail I used to ride behind our house. I'd go to a certain spot and just cry my eyeballs out and scream. I bet I'm not the only one that's done that in this building today. But I have to understand that our God does things in His timing. The Word of God is quick. It comes on the scene so quickly, but still, when it comes on the scene, it begins to do its work. Boy, I still get excited when I'm able to lead a soul to Christ. When you sit down with a soul that needs Jesus and you're able to take the Bible and you see God's Word doing its work, and then all of a sudden you see such a change. I volunteered with Rock of Ages Prison Ministry, and there's a certain chaplain that I work with in an area called Mountain City, Tennessee. It's not a big town. It's a nice little town. Got a good little restaurant up there we've been to before. But I love going in that prison. I tell you, you'll really see what sin can do to a life. And there's nothing that thrills my soul anymore than just going cell to cell. Usually there's two inmates in each cell. And be able to sit down on a stool and only can really look through a crack in that cell door. And see just a little figure of a face. Not unless it's a good behavior inmate that the guard will come and open the door to a certain point where I can sit on a stool and witness to them. There's been several times. Now these guys in the prisons, they're pretty tough. They don't want to show any weakness. But I have literally seen the quickness of the Word of God break that inmate down to the point you would see tears streaming down their face. share with them, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. But God commendeth His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Preacher man, they like to call me preacher man. What must I do to be saved to go to this heaven you're talking about? That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Preacher man, can I get saved right now? I said, you sure can, friend. What? And they'll say, please forgive me. And what must I do? And we'll show them again. And they'll ask Jesus to come in their heart. And I'll show them that verse again. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And they'll sometimes say, shall be saved. That means I got it, don't I? I'm not trying to be funny. I'm just trying to tell you how it is with them. I mean, you got to just lay back with it, okay? That's because the Word of God is quick. And it's powerful. I still remember my daddy had a sudden heart attack and died when I was 17 years old. Had a sudden heart attack. We live in that house now. And we sleep each night in the same room where Dad went to heaven from. But I still remember coming back from the emergency room at the Forsyth Memorial Hospital in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. Walking back in that house, my brother and I and my mama. And my mama getting her Bible out and said, boys, let's read the scripture. Went to John 14 again. Let not your heart be troubled. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Breida, back in those days when Nathan was out in sin, how many times when we would get a call again that he had gone out and was high again on drugs and stuff and left his wife and in the background of his wife calling us, hearing our granddaughter just crying her eyeballs out. How do you get comfort from all of that? We've got to go to a word that's quick and it's powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. So we see the promises of here in verse number 12. In verse number 13, we not only see the promises, but we also see the perception. You say today, well, nobody knows about what I'm going through. Nobody knows what my family is facing. No one knows or cares about what's going on here in our church. Well, it says here, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in His sight. But all things are naked. I don't have to define that word, do I? There's nothing covering it up. It's in plain sight in the eyes of God. It's all exposed. I hear this so much along the way when families have problems and churches have problems. And people will say, well, nobody really knows what's going on. Well, what matters more? Whether man does or whether he does. You know, Breed, as we remember back to those years when, again, our son was in drug addiction, he tried to hide so much. But I'll tell you the reason now he's been clean for many years. It's because he finally realized that there was a God that he couldn't hide anything from. You can hide it from your spouse, but you can't hide it from God. You can hide it from your children, but you can't hide it from God. The young people, they can hide it from their parents, but you can't hide it from God. I've taught in Christian school, you can hide it from the Bible teacher, but you can't hide it from God. Because all things. You might be sitting here this morning and in your life, you might be going through some physical issues in your life. Going through some things that maybe the doctors have not been able to figure out yet. And I appreciate good doctors, but one old fella said, you realize, you know, they're just practicing now. You'll get that after a while. But we have a God that knows. We have a God that hears and answers prayer. Neither, verse 13 again, the perception of the high priest, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open under the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Verse number 14, seeing then that we have a great high priest, that's the position. We see the promises of prayer, the perception of prayer, and now the position of prayer. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. His position. Now, it would be something to be able to meet the president. Whether you like him or not, that's not the issue of the comment. But it'd be something to be able to meet the President of the United States of America. I would have loved many, many years ago to have met Ronald Reagan. But you know something? Much greater than meeting a president. Or maybe even meeting great men of God. Well, that time many, many years ago, Breeden, when we went to pastor school and met Jack Hiles. And from where we live in the Winston-Salem, North Carolina area, you go through Winston-Salem and go to a little suburb called Walkertown, and you've got the Gospelite Baptist Church where Bobby Robertson, for so many years. Boy, don't get me started on him, because he made a big difference in my life as a young preacher. To meet people like that. But does it ever get a hold of your heart and my heart that we have the privilege to approach and come into the presence of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? I tell you, the times that we've been out in the far western states and like traveling through the Wind River Canyon and different places and seeing Mount Rushmore and just things of that nature. And you see all of that and you see all the, and of course Mount Rushmore is not a part of God's beauty. That's the workings of man. But just seeing things that you know that God created. And then to think about, church, that we get to talk to Him anytime we approach Him. Wow. So we see the promises of our high priest and the perception of our high priest and the position of our high priest. I appreciate this one. We also are able to see the passion of our high priest. For verse 15 says, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. There's his passion. We not only have the ability to, but because of his passion, he wants to hear from us. Ninety-nine percent of the time, my wife is with me. Now, of course, again, when I go to the prisons and stuff, She's not gone through the training or anything. But I'm not ashamed to tell you folks today, we've been married 41 years, that I love that girl sitting over there. And I've made it a practice. If I'm away and my cell phone goes off and I look up and I see her number, them other people sitting there with me, they just going to have to wait till I get done with my girl. I really believe that there is an anxiousness in the heart of God to hear from His children. He not only says that we can, but He wishes that we would. You look at the people in the church and look at the people in ministry, and you see the churches that are on fire for God. It's that way because people pray. It's because people fast. It's because people are sick and tired of being sick and tired. It's because we're tired of the same, excuse this North Carolina vernacular, okay? They're tired of the same old, same old. We want to see things different. We have a son that coaches high school basketball. I heard that he told the team, he said, "Now, guys, we don't know what our season lays before us, but we must determine what kind of season we'd like to have. We've got to make up our mind whether we're just going to have an average season or keep a goal in our heart that we could possibly go all the way." All of it started because of attitude and commitment. During that season, they had a setback with the death of a mother of one of his players. But it seemed like their commitment and wanting to rally around that player who just lost their mother, they made up their mind and heart by the grace of God and with God's help. And this is a Christian school, that they do all they could to go all the way. And they did. They were state champions. Maybe that don't mean anything to you, but to see the obstacles that that team went through, the injuries, the death of a mother, the setbacks, but to still have their commitment and their zeal. And ladies and gentlemen, our prayer life needs to exercise the same commitment. The effectual, fervent prayer. I've already quoted it, pray without ceasing. Jesus spoke a parable unto them saying that men ought always to pray and not to faint. And I say with all my heart, the greatest revivals, the greatest moves of God in churches and in lives and in families is when we once again get serious about praying. Oh, wow. There's His promises, His perception, there is His position, there is His passion that we've seen here. "For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities," verse 15, again, "but in all points tempted as we, and yet without sin." Now I want you to notice last of all this morning, the privilege to call for help. He's touched with the feeling of our hardships. I can't get away from that. "Yet without sin." He's worthy for us to call upon because He's never failed. So what do we do? Let us. That word "us" is collective, is it not? He's not just speaking to one. He's speaking to all. Let us therefore, as a result. Richard Jones was one of my Bible teachers in Bible college. He used to say, when every time you see the word therefore, stop and say, what's therefore? Let us therefore come boldly. Now, can you imagine, and I'm not trying to bring politics to the Sunday school hour, can you imagine the red tape that any of us would have to go through to see President Reagan? You hear me. He was my favorite. The president we have now to see him, Donald Trump. Can you imagine that? The red tape you'd have to go through. Maybe some well-known preacher. Maybe because they're so busy. But do you see what he says here in the word therefore? He says, right now, at any place, at any time, let us therefore come boldly. Now, we might come with humility of spirit. And certainly we don't want to go before God in prayer and try to tell him what to do. And I think if we'd be honest, we've all been guilty of that. Been guilty of maybe telling God what should be done. Or wondering why it's nothing happened yet. I still remember, Burita, with Nathan and the drug addiction. How many times did we go to the secret place and cry out to God, God, how much longer are we going to get these phone calls? Let us therefore come boldly. When I looked at that word boldly, it simply means, come on in. I want to hear from you. I'm not too busy for you. I've got all the time that you need. I'm about to become a Southerner and want to run around a little bit. Amen. Because prayer is just that important. And to be able to come boldly to the throne of grace, boy, we ought to all be glad of that. Now, if your good works are more than your bad works, then you can come pray. That's not what that says, does it? Now, if you're a fundamentalist, you can come in. But if you're not a fundamentalist, you can't come in. That's not what that says. My grandfather was an old-fashioned Moravian. Taught me how to play. The man was not a man of many words. But, Breed, I wish you to know him. But when he got down to business with Bible reading and prayer, there was an essence of God in the room. It's because he knew what it was to come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Mercy is God not giving us what we deserve. And grace is him giving us more than what we deserve. And we know what help is, and we know what needs are to find grace to help in the time of need. My wife went in for the back surgery on February the 26th. It was not an emergency or anything. And you know, it's an amazing thing is the Lord allowed me the privilege of pastor churches in years gone by. I always wanted to be a good under-shepherd to the flock and always desired to be there with the family and pray with them and be there with them. Now, that's one thing as a pastor. Now, y'all forgive me now. But when you honey love, your sugar plum, I'm going to stop right there, goes in for surgery. I went to pieces. But I was glad we could go to a little waiting room. We'd already prayed with her. And pray a little more. And boy, sweetheart, God has been so good through all this. We really didn't know whether we was going to be able to make this trip or not. But has not God answered every prayer? We have a great God today that wants to hear from us and needs to hear from us. So why don't we just season some prayer right here before the next service? Maybe stopped a little early or so, but my heart is so burdened this morning to just spend some time in prayer. If you'd like to gather around the altar, fine. If you'd prefer just to stay at your seat and pray. He's not looking for the position of the body. He's looking for the position of the heart. Now, I wonder, any outspoken requests, anything that you'd like to mention outspoken-wise before we pray? Anyone? Yes, ma'am.
Salvation of my children.
Wow. Yes. Wow. Boy, that's got to be a heavy burden. We've been through that one, too. And your grandkids, too. All right, someone else this morning with anything. Anything whatsoever. Sweetheart, you got anything on your heart this morning? Farron's a good guy, professes to be saved, owns and operates a radio station, and even each morning he has good preachers on his broadcast. In fact, I'm not saying I'm a good preacher, but I'm on there too. Good guy. He just got hurt in church many years ago, and he just won't let the Lord take care of it. So, pray. Her name is Alma Schoaf, German name, S-H-O-A-F, Alma Schoaf. I see some of you writing it down. All right, anyone else this morning, please? Maybe you don't want to speak out with something, but how about a special request with an upraised hand? Anybody got just an unspoken request? All right, God bless you, sir. Okay. All right, let's pray. Was there another hand that went up, brother? Something? Yeah.